The following presentation was recorded at a Faith Builders colloquy. More information on Faith Builders events at fbep.org.
I'd like to preface my remarks with a few comments. First of all, by necessity, what I say today about the preparation for missionary is going to reflect my own experiences, and it's going to reflect my own exposure, and it's going to be limited by that. You're going to have some experiences or exposure that I haven't had, and so I hope that what I have to say is broad enough and relevant enough that it won't just be dealing with Hispanic missions. Secondly, in a broad field like this, such as preparation for missions, or preparation for missionary, there's each of us would have our own items of preparation or things that we feel is important that we want to talk about or want to share, and so you'll soon find out what mine are. But it's going to be impossible to cover everything. We'll just take a few broad swaths down through the middle of the field, corners and the edges we'll have to get later. And the third thing I would say is that dealing with the preparation of the missionary, of course, the most important preparation begins with the spiritual part, the spiritual aspect of the missionary. I'm just going to assume that that's in order and go on to some other areas rather than talk about the spiritual preparation of the missionary. It seems like that sometimes when people aren't trained for a specific task that they're not supposed to do, if they don't know anybody, go ahead and do it anyway. And so, is that the way it is with Mennonite missions, that we don't know that you need formal biblical training, and we don't know that you need formal cross-cultural training and preparation for missions? Not knowing that, we just go out and do missions anyway. And if that's the case, is that square with the biblical record? After all, when Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin, weren't they unlearned, ordinary, and unschooled people? And that were telling the gospel? And wasn't it when the time when the church was persecuted, it says that they were scattered abroad, preaching everywhere the gospel, weren't these just ordinary people that were preaching the gospel and doing mission work? And so, wouldn't it be somewhat reasonable for us to begin by asking the question, is preparation really necessary? Do we need preparation? And if we do need preparation as missionaries, then what kind of preparation? If indeed we need to be prepared at all. And so first of all, I want us to look at this question, do missionaries need preparation? And that will give us some idea on what kind of preparation missionaries need if they need preparation. Do missionaries need preparation? Well, again, a biblical example. When Paul, or when the Lord spoke to Ananias about Saul, later Paul, and said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's a chosen vessel. Was Paul's training under Gamaliel, was his understanding of the liberal arts, was his preparation significant to that choosing that God had for him? Was it significant to his work as a missionary? Was it insignificant? Was it helpful? Or was it detrimental? Did God use him in an effective way because of his preparation or in spite of his preparation? These are some questions. And then in Acts 13, where I've already mentioned about Peter and John, the Sanhedrin says that they noticed they were amazed. And they said, these are unschooled and ordinary men. And it says, and they took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. Now that phrase, they took knowledge they had been with Jesus, did that mean that they had been with Jesus in the same sense that we're with Jesus when we have our personal devotional life? Is that what that means? Or did they say that in the sense like the girl who talked to Peter when Peter denied Christ and said, I think I've seen him with Jesus too. They took notice that, well, I believe these people have been with Jesus too, an identification. Or was it something that, by the way Peter and John responded, the way they worked with them, that they noticed that the 3 years or more of training they had with Jesus now anointed by the Holy Spirit, that they could tell that these people had been trained by Jesus. They took knowledge that these people had been with Jesus. It's been time. They operated like Jesus operated. What was it? Well, I believe that in both cases, the preparation of Paul and the preparation of the apostles or the disciples, apostles, the sent ones, the missionaries, I think in both of these cases, their effectiveness was because of preparation they received. Their effectiveness as apostles, as sent ones, and we'll translate that missionaries, was effective because they've been prepared. And I'd like to mention three reasons why I feel that missionaries need preparation. First of all, because of the shape of world missions. And secondly, because of the situation of most missionaries, or most beginning missionaries. And thirdly, because of the need to be sensitive to those that we want to minister to. We need to be prepared or seek preparation because of the shape of world missions. And what is the shape of world missions? Well, I'd like to mention just two items. The first one has to do with the unreached people or unevangelized people. There's a number of ways we can look at this matter of evangelism. We can look at the world, and our commission is to go into all the world, isn't it? And we can look at the world, and we can see the world in this way. Mennonites and non-Mennonites. And we can say that our commission is to go, and where there are no Mennonites, to make Mennonites. But that's one way to look at our job as world evangelization. Then there's another way of looking at world evangelization, and that is we can look at those who have had exposure to the gospel, those who have been evangelized, or those who have an evangelical church, and I use that in a broad sense, and those who haven't, those who are completely unchurched. There's other ways, no doubt, to target missions, but however you want to do it, there's a lot of people that need to be reached with the gospel. There's Westerners, like ourselves. There are Muslims. There's something like 5 billion people in the world. 1 billion, approximately 1 billion, 990,000, I think, are Muslims. Almost one-fifth of the world's population is Muslims outside of Christ. Then there's Hindus, there's Chinese, there's Buddhists, and there's tribal people. These are people that need to be reached with the gospel. And many of these people are very difficult to reach with the gospel. They're difficult for several reasons. One reason they're difficult because of language and cultural barriers. They talk about different kinds of evangelism. E1 evangelism, evangelism with people that like ourselves. E2 evangelism, that's evangelism with people somewhat different. Evangelism, let's say, with my own experience with Hispanics. People speak a different language, some differences, but very much like ourselves. And then there's E3 evangelism, evangelism with people totally unlike ourselves in our language. No resemblance hardly to our language, no resemblance in language, a culture completely different than ours. When we get into missions with these difficulties, it makes missions difficult for us. It makes difficulties in living among these people. It makes difficult to communicate, to understand these people. And it's not just culture and language that makes missions difficult. There's also political and religious things that make missions difficult on going into other places to share the gospel. 5% of the world population claim to be Christian. The remaining 95%, 38% of those people are in areas that we would say are unreachable areas. Those areas where we can go and involve ourselves in missions. Of the remaining percentage, that would be 57%, 19% are Chinese, 16% are Muslims, 12% are Hindus, 7% are tribal people, and 3% miscellaneous percent. At least 57% of the world in areas where it's extremely difficult for us because of political and religious reasons to penetrate into these areas with the gospel. So the point I'm trying to make is simply this. If we're going to be serious about going into all the world to preach the gospel and carrying out the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups, we need to be prepared to do this work. We need to be prepared to work among people in very difficult situations. We need to be prepared to work among people in situations where some countries don't let resident missionaries in. The question I'm asking is, have we chosen the easy jobs? Have we chosen the easy places to work and left the difficult situations for the other denominations, the other mission agencies? Have we chosen the easy places? Is there preparation that we need to do to be able to penetrate into these three-fifths of the world's population where it's very difficult for us to get in? So that's a question that we need to ask. Do we need professional people that can go into countries that are closed to resident missionaries, that people that have services that these countries are willing to, that need and want to have? Or we have, how about linguistics? How about working with tribal people, linguistics, and this type of thing, Bible translation? Are we going to leave that to someone else? Or is our faith broad enough? Are we prepared enough to accept the challenge of the shape of world missions? Then there's the other aspect of world missions that I'd like to speak to, and that is of urban people in particular. Our world is fast becoming an urban world. In 1900, 14% of people lived in urban areas. Now, something like 44% of the people are urban. In the year 2000, they estimate that 50% of the world's population will be urban. And while the percentage of city dwellers grows, the percentage of those people who are Christians declines. So there's more and more people, and less percentage-wise, Christians in the cities of our nation and of our world. The cities are just teeming with people. And in the cities, there can be a whole broad spectrum of nationalities and cultures. I was reading about a man in Philadelphia, and in his neighborhood, it's a neighborhood that's served by a mission hospital, I suppose, or a church-affiliated hospital, 28 different languages in that neighborhood. And there's tremendous opportunities, tremendous needs in the urban areas of our world. That doesn't mention, or also another thing having to do with urban missions is the students from other countries coming into our cities to study, foreign students, the very best intellects from foreign countries, countries that we can't even get into, come into our cities to go to school. There's opportunities to reach them that we would never have within the very best minds, the very best. We're talking about church sending the best, or the country sending their best to our universities and colleges to go to school. The problem is this. We are basically rural people. Our mentality is rural. We like to live in the country. We love it there. Our values are rural. We don't understand city people. We don't understand their values. Maybe we don't want to understand them. Maybe we disdain city people, urban people. And not only that, we don't even know how to live in the city. I was talking to a pastor in a city, and he was talking about country people going to the city, and he said, and he was offering some caution. Well, you could wake up in the middle of the night with somebody standing over you with a stick. And so, we're not streetwise. There's a lot of things we don't know about the city. That's where almost half the world's population are. But we're country people, by and large. And so, are we going to broaden our vision to reach these people, or is that almost 50% of the world's population out of our reach? Are we going to wipe them off? These are some of the shape of the world mission, why we need to consider preparation for the preparation of missionaries, entering into things that we're not accustomed to working with. Well, then another aspect of why we need to be prepared, first of all, because of the shape of world missions, and now because of the situation of most missionaries. Are most of the missionary candidates, those who are going into missions. And what is their situation? Well, basically they're young and inexperienced. And that's no discredit. We should be thankful. I'm thankful for the youth, for the vigor of youth, for the adaptability of youth, flexibility of youth, that wants to commit themselves at an early age to working missions. That's commendable. But the fact remains that young people are inexperienced, unprepared in many situations. And the youthful vigor and enthusiasm just isn't enough to deal with some of the situations in missions. The problem is this, that in our circles, young men and young women often receive their training in something of an apprenticeship situation. We have an ordination in our church, and maybe a young man will be ordained, and where does he get his preparation? Oftentimes, he gets his preparation working with an older pastor, or maybe in a school, or maybe in all types many types of Christian work. We get our preparation in working alongside of older people or more experienced people. But the problem with missions is that missions doesn't always lend itself, or hasn't always lended itself, to this type of training, this type of luxury. Sometimes maybe personnel is in short supply. Maybe the older people have left the mission field and are no longer available. Maybe the situation doesn't allow for a number of people working together, and the young missionaries are on their own, so to speak. Things that they've never been trained for, things they've never been exposed to, the normal way of training in our own circles has been circumvented, and there they are, left to their resources up to the Lord. Sending young, inexperienced people to the field whose major qualifications is new birth experience and zeal, which are foundational to be sure, we expect them to do the work of an evangelist, pastor, a prophet, a teacher. All this in a strange land, among people they don't know, maybe they don't understand, and a language they don't know or understand, we're asking a lot. Some specific problem areas with the situation of many missionaries is lack of ministry skills. I've alluded to that. It's important that missionaries have a certain amount of ministry skills so that when they get to their field of service to the destination, they can minister with a degree of confidence instead of flopping around, trying to using these people as their guinea pigs or as their training. They're on their own. They're trying to work this thing out, and they feel incompetent. Possibly they are. And they run up into situations that have never been exposed to before. And so instead of having confidence and maturity, there can be extreme frustration and damage done and maybe despair and bitterness. Another area has to do with the lack of clear understanding of their role. What is their role as missionaries? Who am I as a missionary? What is my responsibility? What's my task? What am I trying to get accomplished now and in the future? In the long haul, how am I going to approach my task? What am I going to use to attain my goals? What's my relationship to be with my fellow workers, those that I'm ministering to? These are some of the things that people need to be trained, prepared for. And then there's the problem of lack of perspective. We see the world too often from the time that I was born, or for the time that I became conscious, aware of what was going on, until now. And that's about the limit of my perspective. What's going on before, and often what's going on around and in other situations, I'm unaware of. My perspective is limited. The time before I was born, that was the Dark Ages. It's like I heard about someone was reading some of Augustine's writings. Wow, this guy is really something, you know. It's hard for them to believe that somebody like Augustine could have existed back there in that time. Well, if that's our attitude, if that's our perspective, if our perspective is just limited to our lifespan and our limited exposure, maybe in our own church setting, our own community, it's us that's in the Dark Ages and not someone else. And so I think many mistakes to be avoided, many problems to be solved, a lot of good to be accomplished if somehow or another we could draw on that accumulated wisdom and knowledge and experience of people that have gone on before, missions that have gone on before, this type of thing, rather than just being thrust on our own resources, that we've been able to scrounge together in a short amount of time and from the perspective of our own carefully nurtured biases, and instead of just trying to run through the maze by trial and error, that we had a broader perspective on what our task was, what has been done, what have been the issues before, and this sort of thing. Then dealing with the area of sensitivity toward those that we minister to, there again, a lot of damage and a lot of insensitivity can happen if we're not prepared to move among the people that we're ready to move among. I'll mention a few things. For one thing, in methods and strategy. If we have our own pet ideas that haven't been tested, that haven't been challenged, haven't been compared with other people's experiences, we can have a lot of bungling attempts at strategy and method submission. We need to be prepared in areas such as standard of living and the way we live. Is this going to be offensive? Are we being sensitive to people in these areas? How about our attitudes toward their culture, toward their food, toward the way they do things? Are we going to go and refuse the food, turn up our noses, make fun of the sorry way they do things? I know Paul talks about the Christians a blunt way with their evil brutes, lazy gluttons and all that. Is that the way we're going to approach our hosts? But it wasn't Paul that said that to the Christians, was it? And it was one of the Christians themselves that said that of themselves. So we need to be prepared to avoid this ugly American syndrome. You know, there's a lot of things come through that we don't intend to come through. We're not aware of these things. And we need to be prepared. We need to be made aware of things that we do sometimes that are extremely insensitive and very damaging to us and to our ministry and even to the people we're trying to help. We need to be careful not to make people misfits in their own culture and areas not relating to the gospel. We need to be careful not to exploit people, not to carry a lot of cultural baggage. Brother Schnook mentioned this, dislocate people and things like that. It's, even though we're well-intentioned, we need to be prepared for these things. Train. We need to be careful not to exploit people, not to use people for our own personal gain, to swell our egos, to put on exhibit what I've done in my mission work. And so, being sincere and well-meaning isn't enough. There's been a lot of damage, I think, that's been inflicted on people, innocent people, because we weren't prepared. We weren't trained like we should have been. So this is a kind of review of why missionaries need preparation. And I'd like to go on in to some areas of preparation that I feel that are helpful. What kinds of types of preparation do missionaries need? Well, first of all, just as not everybody in the healthcare profession needs the same kind, same type, and the same amount of preparation or training needed as each missionary needs the same kind, type, and amount of preparation. It depends on the circumstances, it depends on the type of work the person's going to do, and a lot of things like this. And also, preparation is something of a process and not a one-time event. We continually be prepared. We continue to grow in our understanding. We can't totally be prepared for all eventualities. So there is a limit, of course, to preparation and training. First of all, I'd like to mention, these things I will mention, it'll reflect some things that I've just said. So the first thing I'll mention is ministry skills. I think that we need to focus on training and ministry skills. I mentioned the problem of why we need to work on this. It's because we circumvent a normal training process oftentimes. I was an ordained minister when I went to the mission field in church planning, and if it wouldn't have been for a BS experience that I had and before I was married, I would have never led anyone to the Lord. Well, that reflects on me, maybe. My attempts at counseling people was horrible. I remember counseling I'd done to someone after revival meeting. It was, you know, like a disaster. I was green, completely green, in some of these areas. And I'd been a minister for 2.5 years. And so, maybe I was exceptionally dull and unprepared, but I think it probably reflects a lot of what's really happening in our circles. We need to have a thorough understanding and experience in personal evangelism. And this should reflect a knowledge, a good knowledge of the gospel. What is the gospel? What is the good news? Often we come to the Lord at an early age and we don't really understand the gospel as we ought to understand it. We understand enough to be saved. And maybe then we understand enough to explain to someone how to be saved, but do we understand enough to share the gospel with someone else? It's a little different. One way you're kind of, it's kind of a defensive approach. Someone comes and says, what must I do to be saved? And then the other situation, you're riding on the bus and you want to share the gospel with the person beside you. It's two different situations. And so we need to be thoroughly prepared on what is the gospel? How to make a logical and a coherent presentation of the gospel to someone who hasn't necessarily asked it. And then along with evangelism, we need to understand something of the process and the dynamics of evangelism. We can go about evangelism with a reaping mentality. In other words, evangelism is something that takes people from that don't even believe in God all the way to belief in Christ for salvation. And you may share certain aspects of the gospel right before they become trust in the Lord for salvation, but we might approach the person saying the wrong things at the wrong time. We need to know something of the process, where the person is on the way from complete unbelief to belief in the gospel, how we can be more effective in reaching that person where they're at, dealing with them where they're at, dealing with the problems that they have where they're at, and applying the gospel to their situation. So something of an understanding of the dynamics of the process of evangelism. We need to know something of dealing with the problems and objections. We need to know something about apologetics and Christian evidences. Then, along with ministry skills, we should be prepared or trained in other methods of evangelism. Home Bible studies, evangelistic Bible studies, open-air evangelism, prison ministries, evangelism through the church, vacation Bible schools, this type of thing. Just practical ministry skills that maybe we've had no experience in, no training in. We need to get some experience in these things. It won't be any easier necessarily in a different place. Well, I'll qualify that. It might be sometimes, but it'll still be difficult. Then there's the need of skills for working with people in specific age groups. Working with children. And what is our philosophy on working with children? Children's spiritual needs. When we go into the inner city and work with children who maybe have never heard of the gospel, how are we going to approach working with children? And the theological aspect. And what about Bible clubs? Or what about some other ways that we can get with children, develop rapport? How about with teens? How are we going to work with teens? Do you have experience with working with unchurched teens? How can we go about to reach these people? What are some skills that we can, or some, how about prison ministries? Just these things. Special groups. How about street people? Skills of working with specific age and social groups. And then teaching and counseling and church leadership and administration. Again, some of these things, depending on the person, as to how much or where they need, but these are some ministry skills. Another type of preparation is a thorough Bible knowledge. 1 Peter 2:15 tells us that we're to be prepared to give an answer, to give a defense. That's where the word of, our word apologetics comes from. Give an apology for our faith, an explanation, and for the hope that lies within us. We need to be prepared. We need to know the Bible. We need to be able to use the Bible as our sword. It needs to be sharp. We need to have a thorough understanding of the Bible. 1 Timothy 3:15, that from the child that's known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. 1 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or who correctly handles the word of truth. Are we thoroughly trained in the Bible? Do we know the Bible? Can we correctly handle the word of truth? Can we correctly interpret the Bible? Can we correctly apply the Bible? Do we know something of systematic theology? Do we have a basic understanding of the Bible doctrines? A working understanding. And so we need a thorough understanding of the Bible. Another aspect in preparation, an understanding of the people that you're going to minister to. If we're going to work with basically Western-oriented people, then we need to know something about Western man. We need to know something about how Western men think. You need to know something of, maybe you need to know something of Francis Schaeffer and some of his analysis of Western men. Maybe you need to know how people in the West look at life and look at the philosophical issues of life. If you're going to be prepared to deal not only with the common man on the street that maybe most of us identify with, but also with professional people, with intellectual people, we need to know something about Western man. If we're going to work with Muslims, then we need to know something about Muslims. We need to know something about how to reach them, what's offensive to them, how we can live among them without offense. Except for the gospel. We need to know where the chinks are in their armor before the gospel can penetrate. We need to learn something about the country where these people live. We need to learn to know how the world looks through their eyes, how the world, how they see the world. When they look at the world, how does it look to them? We need to know something of what's important to them, what their values are. We need to know something of their history. We need to know something of their background. We need to know the people that we're to work among so that we can be effective in working with them. Another area of preparation, we need to learn to know how to relate to one another, or to fellow workers. We dealt with that a bit. Maybe that'll be touched on later. But I've heard that this is the number one problem on the mission field, relating to fellow workers. And there's several reasons for this. I think maybe one reason is because people are thrust together in a very intimate way. Missions is like a total life involvement in a special way. Now let's suppose that two of us in here were to go together into a business relationship. Well, we'd learn to know one another a bit. We'd learn to know whether we thought we could get along in this business relationship. And then it would basically be just an 8-to-5 relationship. A little bit more than that, but missions is a total life involvement in a way different than business even. And people are brought together who haven't necessarily consulted before about whether they're compatible and this type of thing. And so there's a lot of pressures that are being brought to bear on relationships in a mission setting that isn't brought to bear in normal settings. I think also that the missionaries probably under special satanic attack. If the house is divided against itself, it can't stand. And so that's a good place for the devil to attack, to divide the missionaries one amongst themselves. Some other areas, knowledge of missions history, methods and strategies, case studies, adequate language training where it's applicable. I think that this is probably one area we've been weak in. We need to, it's only common courtesy. It's only common courtesy to learn well the language of the people that we're going to live among. How would we like to switch roles with them? How would we like to get a babbling, bungling a minister in every few years, or a spiritual leader, and learn all over again, butcher our language to pieces, and how would we like to put up with that? I dare say that few of us would have the tolerance. We need to have that sensitivity, not to mention a thorough knowledge of the language for spiritual communication. Do our best in communicating the gospel. And so, you don't need to be in this much before you soon become a firm believer on this point of thorough language study for its applicable. And the last point I will mention, and this is directed particularly for administrators, that has to do with adequate orientation. Although this is responsibility of administrators, those who are going as missionaries should insist on it, that they're adequately oriented, thoroughly oriented. What is the mission trying to accomplish? What's my place in the mission? What are the lines of responsibility? Are there any particular things I need to be careful about, not to be insensitive to the people that I'm working with? How can I avoid offending people? And this type of thing. Insist on adequate orientation. Well, the last point then is, how should missionaries acquire the needed training and experience? We can look at this two different ways. One way is, what should be provided for missionaries so that they can receive adequate training and preparation? Or what should we as missionaries do on our own to seek out adequate preparation and training? I've approached it basically, I guess, from the perspective of what needs to be done. What needs to be done? What faith builders can do, or what other agencies can do, what needs to be done? And most of these, I think, are within the realm of reason. And the first one, I think we could have more thorough preparation in the home church setting. There's such a shortage of workers. There's such a demand for workers that a person can almost be whisked away before he's had opportunity to prepare himself. A person is available. A person is commissioned or called or whatever you want to call it. And then suddenly they're gone. And we work on such a slim margin that I think that we need a broader margin. In most mission circles, non-Mennonite, people prepare for missions. I think the average time from the time that they begin their preparation for missions to get on the field is 7 years. I'm not saying that that's the way to do it. I'm just using that as a comparison. 7 years from the time they start Bible college, something like that, until they actually get to the field. And do we even allow 7 months? And so I think that we need to allow a year or 2 years. We need to work with enough margin so that people who are going to be sent to the mission field, particularly I'm thinking in terms of career missionaries, church planting missionaries, and I'm not thinking in terms of short-term BS at this point, so that they can get some training in the home church situation. They can become a pastoral assistant. The man, if his responsibility is to be in church planning, he can work with the pastor of the church. He can counsel with the pastor. He can visit with the pastor. The pastor can train him. He can preach. The wife can get training. Single people can get training in teaching. Maybe various kinds of teaching, various kinds of exposures, opportunities in the local church that if we would work toward that end, we could prepare people more adequately right in the home setting for that work that they was going to be involved in. Another way is through existing Bible schools and institutes. There may be opportunities both serving as students and serving on staff to gain some preparation, some experience. Maybe if a person is part-time student, part-time staff, they could work and study. They could get put to practice some of the things they're learning. Get involved in some counseling, get involved in some interpersonal relationship problems and this sort of a thing. I think someone needs to, or something for faith builders, some institute, or some institution, compile a listing and or a program of suitable courses that are available through continuing education programs or through extension programs in colleges that would be appropriate for training. And these kind of courses that are on audio or something like that can be taken at home, can be taken even on the field. Courses that would be suitable, that would be recommended, maybe could even prepare like a program of courses that would teach things as Bible survey, maybe other Bible courses, missions history, courses on home and family, marriage, other kinds of courses could be brought together, and then someone who is going into the mission field, wanting to serve as a missionary, could contact and get a listing of some appropriate courses that could be taken, apologetics, this type of thing. And then maybe someone could develop courses of their own. Some mission group, some faith builders or someone could take the initiative to prepare some courses that can be taken by extension. You put on audio and this type of thing. That would deal with critical issues on missions, and maybe issues critical to us as Anabaptist missionaries. There's another possibility. Something else? Someone needs to prepare an annotated bibliography of recommended reading for missionaries and mission boards. Sometimes on mission boards, it can happen that people come onto the board with responsible for mission work, responsible for mission programs, and haven't necessarily had a lot of preparation for the tasks that they're asked to do. They're ones that administer mission work, and they administer missionaries, but the missionaries may have had a lot more experience than they've had. But there's balances there that need to be kept, lines of responsibility need to be kept. But if you're on a mission board, if you're on a mission committee, you need to prepare too. You need to understand something of the issues. And so if someone prepare a nice large bibliography of books, all kinds of books and reading and articles and things that would be good for missionaries to read. There's seminars and training programs around that may offer some possibility, some specific training, specific areas. Maybe you will go to some tribal group. Maybe you will go to a really remote area. There might be some school on the jungle survival and this type of thing. Maybe you're going to deal with work in the city. Maybe there's some special seminars that can be had that are available on working in the inner city. And then also there's that possibility of faith builders or other missions, other institutions developing short seminars or candidate schools and that type of thing for some training. Well, I've mentioned Mennonite Bible schools and institutions, and I don't rule out Bible colleges and other kind of colleges too. If I did, I wouldn't be there myself. It's not for everybody. Not everyone needs it. I'm not saying that, but it is something that can be helpful, and I think it would be well if certain people took that course. And now getting into something that's one of my fond visions, and kind of idealistic. I'll just throw this out, and that is having to do with internships. Mission working in the local church, but how about inner city internships? How about something like a work study program in the inner city or in an urban area? When I mean work study, I'm talking about ministry study. A supervised program, maybe for a year in the city, live there, suffer a bit of cultural dislocation, brush shoulders with other types of people, learn to eat some ethnic foods, spend part of the time studying, plenty of time, plenty of opportunity for ministry, and this would help people, expose people. It would kind of be a stepping stone into another culture. We have large cities, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, places like this, where you get a real exposure, a supervised training program, internship, and it would be a final opportunity to see if the person was made of the right stuff before they got to the field. Well, we've looked at this subject of preparation of missionaries from three angles. Do they need preparation? Do missionaries need preparation? What kind of preparation? What are some ways to acquire it? But, you know, even with the most careful preparation, our enablement to serve comes from God. And Paul recognized that when he said in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting into the ministry, putting into his service. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who enabled me. We can prepare completely, but the enablement comes from God. And he recognized that well in 1 Corinthians 2. Paul was well prepared. He had excellent training, excellent exposure, linguistic ability, good writer, able mind. He had all this. But even the Apostle Paul, with all his good training, he wrote this way to the Ephesians, to the Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So ultimately, our effectiveness in ministry doesn't come in preparation. That's important. That shouldn't be bypassed. But ultimately, our effectiveness comes through spiritual power that comes through the Lord.
For the most current Faith Builders recordings, visit ChristianLearning.org. And for more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit the DocForLearning.org.